This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Rob Tribble in for Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 929 The Game. The Kirk Cousins situation still percolating, and we know all the latest. Basically admitted that he was playing hurt when the Falcons endured that horrible slump, and he played absolutely terribly. But that's his way of saying the only reason that happened is because I was injured. I'll get healthy again. I haven't forgotten how to play quarterback. But are there any trade options? There's rumors everywhere involving the Jets, the Browns, even the Raiders as a potential dark horse, even the Dolphins. I mean, the rumors are all over the place, but the Falcons got to cut him. Otherwise, he's owed that $10 million roster bonus. And if there is a trade that can be facilitated, now, Garrett, see if I have these numbers right. The Falcons will be on the hook for $37 million. The team that trades for him will be on the hook for $27
million. That's negotiable.
Negotiable. Everything's negotiable.
Everything's negotiable.
But, you know, and do the Falcons just cut him? Can you possibly bring him back into that locker room? I know the Falcons are a finalist for a Hard Knocks next year. Maybe they'll do everything possible to keep him there just to drum up the drama.
Well, it's not that they're a finalist. It's that they're one of the four teams who can't say no.
Who can't say no,
which I guess theoretically means you're a finalist.
You're a finalist, yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
it's the Titans, it's the Panthers, it's the Seahawks, and it's the Falcons. And I think it's just the Falcons are the only team who hasn't done it. Or has done it. The other three have not been featured on it. So I don't think that we're actually going to get it.
Well, never underestimate teams' desperation for veteran quarterbacks, you know? I mean, there's probably half the teams in the league.
In owner's desperation for a veteran quarterback.
Owner's desperation for a veteran quarterback.
The Jets' ownership, I feel like, would pound the table for it. They would try to force the hand. I mean, who else would even want it? The Steelers, maybe?
Steelers, maybe.
I mean, they just want to keep taking our backwash. I mean, if you take Arthur Smith, they took... I mean, it's like they've got Cordero Patterson's up there. I mean, like they've got a lot of Van Jefferson's up there. They got a lot of former Falcons up there.
I really don't know what they're going to do. It seems like it's such a common notion, and there's probably a bit of truth to it. Nobody wants to trade for him. Why would they? Hope you cut him, then he's a free agent. Then he's free to go elsewhere.
Well, that's what worries me a little bit about it, is because you're going to have to owe him $10 million by virtue of the roster bonus that hits March 17th. You're about 1 month away from that. So assuming nothing gets done till then, you're still waiting on Russell Wilson to make a decision. You're still waiting on Aaron Rodgers likely to make a decision. You're waiting on what happens with the Rams. I mean, the Rams and Matthew Stafford, that's a far more appeasing quarterback. I would say Matthew Stafford, far more appealing.
Well, I think they want to restructure Stafford, and they're tired of his wife chirping about the state of the organization as well. They're kind of annoyed with her. That's a thing.
I guess.
So, I
didn't know his wife was talking.
Yeah, she's always talking.
Yeah, well, I know she was going on podcasts talking about backup quarterbacks at UGA.
That's right.
I mean, come on.
Well, so that's where we are right now with the Kirk Cousins situation. I just wish they would have gone to Michael Penix at halftime of that Chargers game. That's when I was started clamoring for it.
Dude, I'm completely on board with what you're saying. Because he just didn't – I was at that damn game.
Mm-hmm.
And I was watching him play in person. It gives you a different understanding when you're actually sitting in the stands
right.
watching him. He didn't look right.
No.
And what I'm saying is if
he was stumbling if he had to go laterally 3 yards to do a handoff.
Like, we might as well just had a piece of plywood back there. Like a 4x4 is moving a little bit more than that. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, the guy couldn't move.
Nope.
And then it didn't make things better when he looked like he was aiming the football.
Yeah.
And he was trying to place the ball, and he was thinking.
Well, that's because his shoulder was bothering him.
We couldn't throw.
Yeah. So. And then he your throws fundamentals that floater, and your mechanics of throwing.
But he throws that damn floater over the middle of the end zone. It's like, dude, what the hell are you doing? Because he just lofted it up there, right up there.
Yep.
And like the defensive backs, okay, thank you. Well, he just stood there and caught it.
I think that's a testament to the level of frustration with the injury, so you try to force things.
Well, yeah.
You know, that's what it boils down to.
Well, my frustration happens when you play him for 3 more games.
Yep.
And then I saw him again in Vegas. I paid good money to go fly out to Las Vegas.
Oh, that's right. You were there for that one, weren't you?
It was an incredible experience. I love being in Vegas. The game sucked.
Yeah.
We won.
Well the
barely.
Raiders in
almost
Vegas.
Almost lost to Desmond Ridder. They had the last play of the game where they're throwing the ball up, had that Hail Mary.
I know.
What a disaster.
That was.
I sat in traffic for an hour after the game, and that was more calming than watching the Falcons play football in that game.
Well, the Raiders in Las Vegas, that's not the vibe you think it is. They belong. Well, Oakland, last team out of Oakland, you know, turn off the lights basically. But, you know, the old Oakland Coliseum, though, I heard it smelled like a combination of weed, lemon pepper, and urine.
Mixture a little vomit in there.
Mixture a little vomit in there. Well, the Falcons, the amount of pressure on this, on Terry Fontenot, and certainly Raheem Morris as well. You got to get to the playoffs next year. Somehow, some way.
That's the baseline. Winning record was this year. I mean, look, I expect this team to win 10 games this year. I sat up here. I think everybody did.
Everybody did.
You said 10 wins, 9, fine, yeah. As long as you make the playoffs.
Then you get off of that 6-3 start.
And I'm like, all right, sweet. We might win 11 games.
We might get to host a playoff game at home. Might win a home playoff game. And
do you
then
know how many home games they've played at Mercedes-Benz Stadium? Home playoff games.
Zero.
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 Zero. We've had more Super Bowls here. That was played in 2019, Rob.
Falcons haven't had a home playoff game since they beat the Packers in the NFC Championship, right?
That was our last home playoff game.
That was the last home playoff game. And yeah. I kind of miss the Georgia Dome, too. As beautiful as Mercedes-Benz is, too, but there's something about the vibe inside the Georgia Dome that I like.
Well, that was a football stadium. Mercedes-Benz is not a football stadium.
No.
It's a venue.
It's a venue. Is what it is.
It's a corporate venue.
It's a venue that offers you everything in the world to distract you from what's going on the field. Yeah, World
Cup. But it brings World Cups here. I love Mercedes-Benz, and I'm not going to crap on it.
Oh, no, it's beautiful.
It's a gorgeous stadium, and the concerts there are awesome. I love it, but
did they finally figure out the sound issue there? Because I think Garth Brooks was the first concert inside Mercedes-Benz when it first opened. The sound was just abysmal.
It was terrible at that point. I mean, it's not. It's big.
Yeah.
I think just based off of how large of a facility it is, it's hard to really have great sound. I mean, State Farm Arena is definitely better.
Kind of calibrate the acoustics and everything else?
Yeah, State Farm's definitely better, but, I mean, I enjoy it.
Were there any murders when Garth Brooks came to town? You've heard that whole conspiracy, haven't you, that Garth Brooks is a serial killer? And they kind of traced
where
concerts were played. There were some strange murders that happened wherever he's played. There's a lot of people kind of... Look
it
up
in the weeds.
Yeah, look up Garth Brooks.
Back page with Rob Tribble.
Now I'm not saying that, but you know, I'm just saying it's out there. What does Carl Dukes always says? I don't start rumors, but I'll talk about them. So the Falcons with the 15th pick, and they're hamstrung in the draft as well. You don't have a number 3 pick this year. You gave that up for Matthew Judon, which was an abysmal disappointment. But you know, that's more on Matthew Judon than it is the Falcons brass, though, because he was a bona fide perennial double-digit sack guy, Matthew Judon was, and just didn't do it here. Yeah, of course, we saw him get dropped into coverage, which is kind of bizarre, if you ask me. And you also don't have your 5th-round pick due to the tampering issue involving Kirk Cousins talking to Falcons medical staff. before he'd signed on the dotted line. So you're down your third pick and your fifth pick.
This guy just talks so much, man. He just talks so much.
Who's that?
Kirk Cousins.
Oh,
he just talks.
He just talks.
And I think, like the dude talks just way too much. And it was endearing almost at first.
Yeah.
Because he was like, oh, yeah, like, there we
affable
go.
Affable
so
dad
cool.
joke guy.
Just a dad.
You know?
He just felt like a dad.
Yeah.
Like a suburban dad.
Suburban
and
dad.
And then now he just, it's like, dude, stop talking. Just stop.
Well, he's trying to enhance his value by saying, well, I was hurt. I can get better.
I know what he's trying to
and
do.
And he'll be 37 in August, but it'll be 2 years removed from the Achilles. So I don't know. So that's where we are. So you're gonna have to hit with all your draft picks. Certainly, you have a what? You have a first, a second, a fourth, a sixth, and a seventh.
Well, it's the fact that you also have two sevenths.
Two sevenths, okay.
And it is you're dealing now with legitimate scarcity with your draft picks. I mean, I'm trying to pull them up right here.
Kind of technically get a third round pick. Braylon Trice will be back this year. He was a third round pick last year.
Good point. That's a great point.
But what's he going to be, though? Normally, guys that are you know how he was evaluated from everybody that evaluated him. Good situational player that could develop into a starter. So I don't think Braylon Trice will necessarily be a difference maker. But you never know till the guy plays. You just don't know.
Yeah,
I mean drafting's an inexact science. I mean, half your draft picks end up being bust regardless of the position.
Yeah, so might as well maximize it and go get guys out of Montana, right? So yeah, your picks are the 15th pick, the 46th pick, and then the 117th pick.
Yeah.
Those are your money picks. And I'm worried about that. You have two picks in the top 50. That's not great. You have two picks
that's
in the
not great.
Top 115. That's just not good.
Mm-mm.
So I don't really know what you have to hit. And you have to hit jackpots. If you want to make the playoffs next year, you either are going to have to score 30 points a game or
which I think is a possibility.
30 points?
Yeah, I think so. I think this is a team that could score 28, 29 points a game. With this offense the way it is, absolutely it can. But they'll give up 38.
Good. Yeah, that's the problem.
That's the problem. They'll give up 38
every week.
We're going
to be the Bengals.
Week. Yeah.
Same
thing.
It's fine to some extent. I mean, look, it'll sell tickets. It'll be fun to watch. It'll be better product than what we had this year.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you just come in here and just play some. I just want a guy who can sack the quarterback. I just want somebody who can sack the quarterback. Is it that hard to go find a guy who can
sack
the
quarterback? Well, it seems like it's been hard for this franchise for 20 years outside of John Abraham, you know, and that
on
one year Vic Beasley.
92.9 has been on the air for over a decade now,
yep.
12 years. We have been clamoring for a sack guy, a guy who can come in here and be a bona fide
stud. And I've been on the
stud.
Air here on and off since 2012.
Since 2012.
It's been a common refrain.
It's been the only refrain, Rob.
Mm-hmm.
It's been the only thing we've talked about every single offseason, except for the one-off season that Vic Beasley hit that one-off. Where he goes off for 15 and a half sacks and 16 quarterback hits, by the way, which is an insane number, except for that 1 year. Oh, can he duplicate that?
Nope.
And is it a coincidence, really, that that's the 1 year that we go to the playoff, or go to the Super Bowl?
No, it's not a coincidence.
That's the one time we've been to the Super Bowl, is the 1 year that we led the NFL in sacks.
And it's that whole notion, well, sacks are over it. No, they're not. I don't think they are. Sacks can mean all the – football is such a sport based on momentum. There's no momentum 100%. In baseball because it's too slow of a sport.
You set them back behind the chains.
Yes. Yeah.
It screws people.
You turn a second and three into a third and 18, chances are you're getting off the field and your team's energized. The defense is certainly energized and make a big play like that. I think they are important. Stadium's energized. Yeah.
Everyone starts to feel it.
Or if you're on the road, it can have the opposite effect and quiet the stadium as well.
Yeah.
I do not think it's overrated, but they've got to absolutely hit. And I don't know what they're going to do at number 15. I mean, okay, you can go out. You need a cornerback to book in A.J. Terrell, but would that do any good if you're not getting any pressure in the middle? And, of course, some guys started playing a little bit better. Arnold Ebiketie started playing better last year. You saw some things here and there, certainly.
Yeah.
They've got some rotational pieces, but you need a difference maker there. I want a killer. I want a guy with face tattoos and priors is what I want. that's what's going to end up.
But the thing is, it's like you have some guys out there. We'll talk about some of those later on in the show, but it's like we need somebody who can come.
Well, Von Miller, Joey Bosa, aging.
Trey Hendrickson.
Yeah.
I mean, there are guys who can come in here and be difference makers. I mean, there's a reason that teams like the Kansas City Chiefs can send all-out blitzes on one side of the field. It's because Chandler Jones takes up the entire other side of the field. The Cleveland Browns do the same thing with Myles Garrett on one side and everybody else on the other. You can't take your eyes off of Myles Garrett because he can destroy a play.
What's Myles Garrett going to do? Cleveland really, they don't want to trade him. They've said that publicly. Is he just going to complain his way out of Cleveland maybe?
He might cry a little bit.
Might cry a little bit.
Yeah. As long as he doesn't swing those helmets, as long as he's not doing that, I'm fine. Keep the helmet to yourself.
Yep. Yeah, Trey Hendrickson, yep. Expiring $18 million deal.
And he
can't spend top dollar at every position.
Yeah. Well, that's what the general manager said.
Yep.
That's what the general manager said. He said, I cannot spend top dollar at every position. And Trey Hendrickson, who's been notably upset for a while now about his contract, he wants to get paid because he deserves to get paid. But you got T. Higgins, who's about to make top dollar. You got Jamar Chase, who just signed top dollar. You have Joe Burrow, obviously, who's making top dollar.
Well, Joe Burrow wants those guys staying.
Yeah, that's my offense. But I also, if I'm Joe Burrow, I want a defense that can give me some semblance of a pulse.
Yeah, because look what happened. He had a historically good year for him last year, but you lost a lot of games.
Because the defense couldn't do it.
Because you got off such a lethargic start. You strung together some victories late, but it wasn't enough, and you fell like a game short of making the playoffs. All right, we're going to come back. Hawks back in action on Thursday after this lame All-Star weekend. What can we expect? Probably expect some interesting things. Maybe not the ultimate payoff, but I think this is a team that will at least be fun to watch down the stretch. Rob Tribble in for Andy and Randy, Sports Radio, 929 The Game. Welcome back. Rob Tribble in for Andy and Randy. Hawks getting ready to kick things off post-All-Star. Orlando comes to town on Thursday night. 27 games left. 16 of those are going to be at home, I believe. And many against losing teams, but what does that necessarily mean, right? 9 games versus teams with winning records, 16 versus losers. A couple of interesting games coming up down the road, though. Got the Clippers coming in town. You're going to have Grizzlies are coming to town. Who else? From out west.
You said they're playing teams with losing records. What are they, inter-squad scrimmages or something?
Well, the Hawks, their next 10 games, though, are all against teams. You got, like, the Magic. Pistons do have a winning record. You got the Heat twice back-to-back. Thunder coming to town. That'll be fun to watch, right? It's kind of like title or bust for them, I would think, at this moment, right, for OKC?
If you say title or bust, no, it's just, look,
Grizz,
that
Bucks.
Team is not going anywhere. That team is young, and it's exciting, and it's got
more assets than they
know what to do with. They got like 15 first-round draft picks or something over the next couple of years. It's insane.
It's insane that they just stockpiled assets.
Do you think that they pile all of those together and just go get like Cooper Flagg and just say, hey, here's 8 first round picks.
If you're
the Washington Wizards, I'm not going to say no to 8 first round picks.
No.
Just throw money at it. It's like you're just way overpaying for even the best player. 8 first round, just say screw it. Just do it. Why not?
You know, I was thinking about Memphis. I get Memphis and OKC all confused because geographically kind of close together, aren't they? Just a little bit. I was getting them confused, though. But, yep. Nonetheless, though, the Hawks have their next 10 games. Most are against teams that are just right in front of them. If they can string some victories together, they could at least scratch and claw their way to perhaps a 6th seed. And we'll see. Because one thing I like about this team now, traditionally under Nate McMillan, when the Hawks were down late in the game, it was over. Not the case now. They don't quit. And as long as you got somebody like Dyson Daniels who can get a stop, get a steal, create a turnover. You go back the other way. Next thing you know, you're back in the game. That's what happened against the Knicks. You're down 6 with 18 seconds left. It seemed like it was just done. Then you force overtime, and then you fall short in overtime against the Knicks. Are there legitimate threats, though, to like Boston and maybe even Cleveland? It seems like it's Boston and Cleveland and everybody else.
No, it's Boston and everybody else.
I think it is, but there's a couple teams that could make it. Indiana. Orlando is such a good team. They can't stay healthy, though. 3 of their best players are missing 20, 30 games. Yeah. Very long defensively. Orlando's feisty. Indiana could be pretty feisty.
But in a seven-game series, nobody's beating Boston.
No, I don't see it happening either. I'm just saying, you know,
they'll beat Cleveland in five games.
Maybe.
Six games.
Maybe.
Maybe they steal one and make it interesting and go to seven or something like that. But
it won't be the Knicks, though, because they just can't defend.
No, it's because their old team's going to get hurt.
Who would have thought that
you're playing 40 minutes a game, and you're doing that in the regular season after 82 games? No, it's ridiculous.
No, I just remember when
there's a reason Derrick Rose isn't going to be in the Hall of Fame, and it's because of Thibodeau.
Yeah.
I blame him completely.
Well,
because he overplayed him.
He overplayed him.
And then he got hurt. And then he got hurt again.
And it's funny how a Tom Thibodeau team up there does not play defense. Back in the day when Thibodeau was with Chicago, it used to be the first team to 90 wins the game. That seems like...
Joakim Noah was on that team. Yeah. That was a team with some Boozer, Carlos Boozer. Yeah. That was a mean team.
That was a mean team, man. They just,
I hated that team. Ugh. I don't know. I had no reason to hate them, but I did.
Well, it's because the first team to 90 wins. You wanted a little bit more scoring.
Yeah, I guess.
But now I miss the days of good defense in the NBA. But what can we expect from the Hawks the rest of the way? I don't know. I will tell you this. The fact that they don't quit, it sounds corny. The fact that they don't quit, the fact they were able to come back. They came back from 18 down and beat Milwaukee not too long ago. You didn't give up against the Knicks. So at least you have that going for you. That's something that could bode well going to the playoffs. Now, am I expecting anything great in the playoffs? No, absolutely not. But I'm hoping at least they will make things interesting and be feisty. If they can get to a sixth seed and avoid the play-in, they might could be a bit of a problem, be a mild annoyance for somebody in the playoffs. Maybe win a couple of games. Who knows? But at least be exciting. I really wish Jalen Johnson would. If Jalen Johnson doesn't get hurt, you're not trading DeAndre Hunter. You had your rotation, but you had to deal with injuries. You're maddeningly inconsistent. You'd win four, then lose five. Then you lost eight. That eight-game losing streak, that seemed like that lasted forever.
I thought that was the backbreaker.
Ooh, that was definitely
the backbreaker. I thought it was over. But then they hit because they lose eight games in a row.
Yep.
And then you trade DeAndre Hunter, you trade Bogey Bogdanovich, and then sometimes it's just fresh blood.
Well, they win their first two after the trade or first three?
They won four or five.
After the trade, they won that many in a row?
I don't think it was four or five. I think they ended 4-6 because they lost the Knicks.
Yep. In that Knicks game. But that showed me a lot, though, the fact they did not. At least you're fighting to the final whistle. And like I said, it used to be the common refrain, the Nate McMillan Hawks.
Well,
if they were behind,
his arms.
It was over.
He just crosses his arms.
Just cross his arms and
just kind of sit back and be like, whatever.
It's right, Raheem Morris chewing gum and staring at the big screen.
Hike his pants up a little bit.
Oh, the Capri pants. Well. Oh, let's see. Oh, we have Jody in Peachtree City, huh? Okay, let's talk to Jody. Hello, Jody. What's going on?
Hey, Rob. How you doing? Hey, thing that kills me about them is their inconsistency. Y'all just said it. They've beaten the Cleveland twice, the Knicks once, the Boston twice.
Yep.
They can play with anybody. They can lose to anybody, though. That's what's frustrating. I like the new blood. I'm just hoping that Clint can get back. And I mean, if he's on the roster, I don't understand why he hadn't played. They say he's not hurt. I thought they were going to trade him. Maybe they couldn't.
Yep.
So I definitely think they could get to the sixth spot, maybe even the fifth spot, if they can get some rhythm and go with these new guys playing. Because I think Trey, he's doing all the right things. He's got to shoot a little better percentage. But
yeah,
they've beaten the best teams. That's what's confusing with this team.
Well, that's the nature of the beast, man. I appreciate your call, my friend. Yeah, that's what's so frustrating about the whole thing. But now, you know, that's not the same team that beat Boston twice. Not the same team that beat Cleveland twice. Everything looks different now when you bring in those kind of journeyman players. They're pros. Some good shooters. Okay, I get that. But it's just very frustrating. It seems like they finally figured out something to do with DeAndre Hunter, who's been maddeningly inconsistent, injured, and just hasn't played up to what a fourth overall pick should be. Coming off the bench as a sixth man, still maybe the sixth man of the year, would have been the sixth man of the year had he stayed in Atlanta too, especially. And you have Jalen Johnson, that injury, that shoulder injury, that's kind of a backbreaker too as well. It just threw a wrench into the rhythm of the rotations and what you think they could be. And that's the team that created the matchup nightmares with Boston and Cleveland. Well, now that dynamic is gone from this team, so it's almost like a different team when you play those teams again. So the most you can expect out of this team, I think, you can scratch and claw to a sixth seed and be feisty and annoying in the playoffs. And maybe steal a series, best case scenario, if you want to be optimistic. But it's frustrating. It certainly is frustrating because this team was showing a lot of promise, and the inconsistency started, and Bogey just completely forgot how to shoot. I think the Olympics may have just kind of zapped what remaining reserves he had. The Olympics seemed to be – he played so well in the Olympics. And then all of a sudden, you just couldn't make a shot. Then he couldn't stay healthy. And the thing about Bogey is he'd play for 2 days and he'd be out four games. That was maddening. So the health issue's been frustrating. I love Quinn Snyder as a coach. I think he's such a bright guy, so psychologically astute. He certainly has Trey's ear. He's kind of helped Trey in his road to maturity. And give credit to Trey as well. What, you got something to say?
I always have something to say, Rob.
You always have something.
No, Quinn Snyder's very cerebral.
Very cerebral, psychologically astute, and just very bright dude. I mean, he's got the MBA and a law degree from Duke, you know?
Yeah, true. I mean, look, the dude, I mean, he's come on with us several times on the Steakhouse, and he's an avid listener to the station, by the way. Just shout out to that. So, Quinn Snyder, if you're listening, what's up, man? But, no, I mean, look, I think the biggest thing is what you said right there. It's the fact that he has Trey's ear.
Yeah.
Trey was somebody who always seemed, for the early parts of his career here in Atlanta, because he's now been here for, what, 7 years or so?
Coach killer!
He was called a coach killer. But he always felt like he was just sort of like a leg above the rest of the team.
Yeah.
I don't feel that this year. I even felt that last year to some extent, and I was getting very frustrated. I can just speak for myself, but I saw it on social media, and I heard it on the station all the time. People were kind of over that act, and I think Trae Young kind of saw that, and he grew up a little bit, and I think it's done him well. And I think it's helped the team out because I think we're a better team.
It's all about maturity,
when he's
man.
Distributing the basketball.
Yep. And the thing, the knock on Nate McMillan was he had no patience for young players or developing young players.
Yeah, Nate didn't.
He wanted to just throw his veterans out there. He had no desire to even
worry
about that.
Know how to
that.
Play the game.
Yeah, that's it. Just very old school. Okay.
It's old school.
Good for him.
Yeah, but look, Trey was this new generation of player, and they butted heads, and it was not very good. But he's got Quinn Snyder, or Quinn Snyder has his ear. And I think the entire Atlanta franchise is going to be better as a result.
And what's so funny, Quinn Snyder's not a young guy. I mean, he's in his mid to late 50s, but he still knows how to relate to the younger players.
He's a player's coach.
Player's coach, man.
He's a player's coach. I guess that's just really what it comes down to. Now we just get some talent in here.
Get some talent here,
And maybe Jalen Johnson's injury could be a blessing in disguise. Not wishing injury on anybody, obviously, but...
In what way could that be? The fact that you you bring in some pieces for your bench and depth reasons?
Well, you have DeAndre Hunter who's on the move. You have Bogey Bogdanovich on the move.
Bogey should have been on the move.
And then you have Jalen Johnson on the who's on the shelf.
Yep.
Zachary Risacher is a top overall pick. He's going to get a lot of run here over the next couple of weeks.
He's been quite good.
He's been solid.
I mean, you know, normally you think of a number one overall pick as to be a generational talent. No, he's not, but he doesn't turn the ball over.
No, and he can shoot the lights out. And if he can develop, and I think just getting those reps is going to be valuable for him. If he can be that guy who can give you 40% shooting.
And those European players, the level of coaching they get, that's why they come into the league so polished.
Yeah, and he's got aspects of his game that are still forming.
Yep.
You know, I mean, he's got to get bigger. He's got to put on some weight, and he's only 19 years old.
He's only 19 years old. Yeah, he'll get his grown man strength in a couple of years. Yeah.
He can shoot, and he doesn't turn the ball over, and I think he can be an elite role player on this team. Like an elite part of this core.
All right,
Jalen Johnson, Trae Young, Zachary Risacher.
All right, we're going to come back. I know you're all clutching your pearls and wringing your hands over the fact that Alex Anthopoulos didn't do anything real sexy in the offseason. Fear not. What did Aaron Rodgers say? Relax. I'll tell you why next. Triple in for Andy and Randy, Sports Radio, 929 The Game. Rob Tribble in for Andy and Randy due to load management because they're soft like today's NBA. Nah, it's President's Day. Happy President's Day, everybody. Hope you got all your shopping done. All right, Braves. First spring training game Sunday against Tampa Bay. Season opener, the Marlins. Was that April 4th, I believe? Something like that.
No, we're Padres, aren't we?
I thought it was a Marlins.
We're on West Coast swing.
Is it the start? His first home game is the Marlins.
First
April
home
4th.
Game is the Marlins.
Yeah, because you start in late March, and that's start out west.
Yeah, because we go Padres, and then we have the Dodgers.
Ooh, the hated Dodgers with their $2.2 billion payroll. Right?
Ooh.
Well, guess what? There's never going to be a salary cap in Major League Baseball because something will happen if they try to do that. It'll be called either a strike or a lockout. This is what's going to happen. It's never going to happen. And I think it's good. I think it's good that the Dodgers have set themselves up to be such villains, public enemy number one. It makes it fun. Growing up, I loved hating the Dodgers.
They're a fun team to hate.
Yeah, it's a fun team to hate.
The Yankees have sucked too much over the last decade.
Right.
I mean, they had the World Series appearance, I guess. You want one or two of them.
Oh, by the way, Aaron Judge, both elbows are bothering. He might not even be available opening day. So that's kind of a big deal. So, but as for the Braves, though, you have a new pitching coach, Tim Hires, out of Newton County. He was the hitting coach for the Rangers, and they won the World Series. And I think the Red Sox, the last time they won. So clearly there's a pedigree there. And what was the big problem with the Braves last year? Of course, you have five position players missed at least 2 months, right? The common refrain for the Braves, though, in high-leverage situations, you were not getting key base hits. All your best players were mired in prolonged slumps at different times of the season. So when things are going badly what happens? Players start to press. They start to try to do too much to lift the team out of the doldrums, out of the malaise. So you start pressing. You try too hard. Even Kevin Seitzer said that. I think Mark Bowman might have been the one that talked to Kevin Seitzer after he lost his gig. And he says, well, maybe they can bring in somebody that can keep these players from trying too hard, which is something you can do in baseball. You press. You're thinking, I can hit a 9-run homer and everything will be just fine. And I think he has to be partly a psychologist. That's why I went off on this earlier. As far as what is baseball? Baseball is such a psychological game. Mainly because if you're struggling on 0-for-4, if you had a bad at bat, what do? You go out in the field and you sit there and marinate and stew on your misfortune. And you sit there and just dwell on the bad. And as a result, a lot of times what will happen after if you're in a slump, next at bat, what do? You try too hard, you get too aggressive. So the level of aggressiveness should vary depending on if it's a 3-1 count or 0-2 count. So that was a fundamental problem last year. Five position players missing at least 2 months. All your best players were mired in slumps. And I don't know if you can come back and say, with Matt Olson, do you try to create a completely different approach? Well, no, not necessarily. Matt Olson's not necessarily going to be a foul pole type hitter. And a lot of guys are content just standing on top of home plate and trying to yank it down the line, left-handed or right-handed. Another question for the Braves, of course, is the starting pitching. Now, as far as Spencer Strider, he did not have Tommy John per se. Had the ligament issue, of course, but it wasn't Tommy John per se. It was kind of the tightrope procedure that you see on ankles, so it wasn't completely that. Ligament was not actually torn. They kind of cleaned up the bone, and they applied a brace. And it's similar to that tightrope procedure that you see with ankle injuries. Strider, you've seen probably videos of. You follow Grant McCauley on Twitter and other outlets if you're looking into what the Braves are doing down in North Point. Strider throwing off the mound, expected to make a spring training start, barring any setbacks, probably be right back in the rotation end of April. Okay, that's great. What do you do in the meantime, though? Ian Anderson, no more options left, has not pitched in the big league since 2022. We saw the talent, very good in the playoffs a few years ago, but can't seem to stay healthy and maintain that consistency. Grant Holmes last year, very good as a hybrid reliever / spot starter, but he couldn't necessarily string several good starts together. Great story, spent over a decade in the minors, so he could certainly be a solution in the bullpen once Spencer Strider gets back. But last year, remember how historically good the Braves were in 2023 offensively? Fantastic. Last year, 15th in batting average. Fourth in here's the thing. I pointed this out earlier. Here was a big problem last year. You were fourth in home runs in Major League Baseball, but 14th in RBIs, hitting way too many solo homers. 12th in OPS. And then last year happens with the injuries and the slumps. It's just and we thought the Braves would just cruise to the postseason last year. And actually cruising to the postseason, not necessarily a good thing, as we talked about earlier. The year they won the World Series, Braves had to scratch and claw just to get above 500 in the month of August. That battle-hardened, that season was so tough for them. They were so battle-hardened heading into the postseason. That really helped them out. What happens when you win a division and get 10 days off? The rust factor. You can only duplicate game situations inter squad only so often. Nothing's like actual games, actual bullets flying. So last year, the offense didn't come through. Players were pressing. Your struggle with situational hitting. Failure with runners in scoring position. And Orlando Arcia is still a shortstop. That's the one thing that just kills me. Now, there's going to be an interesting dilemma, though. When Ronald Acuna does come back, I think he's going to be a 4-tool player now. Jerks and Profar. When he was batting leadoff for San Diego last year, I think he's batting 380. And then when you dropped in the lineup, you had very drastically diminishing returns. But Ronald Acuna is your leadoff hitter. Or will that change this year due to the fact he's coming off two ACLs? I don't know. So that's going to be something to think about. But that's a nice pickup. That's a bit of a splash, I thought, for Alex Anthopoulos. But pitching-wise, as brilliant as Chris Sale was last year, we know his injury history. Can he possibly stay healthy two seasons in a row and maintain the dominance? Well, if he stays healthy, he's going to be dominant. That's just what he is. That's his makeup. Spencer Schwellenbach, what a revelation he's been. Last year, as I've said, when he showed up at spring training, he basically had to introduce himself to Brian Snitker. And look what a revelation he was. Very solid pitcher. Five pitches, has command over all of them. Good velocity, good movement, up, down, left, right, all the things. Charlie Morton no longer here. So Ian Anderson, Grant Holmes, they're gonna battle out to figure out who, and not to mention A.J. Smith-Shawver, who they're very high on. But wasn't he last year that started that final game against Padres? He looked completely overmatched.
He's just in over his head. He's a young
way
guy.
Over
Hurston
his head.
Hurston Waldrop, somebody else
who
could?
Yeah.
Maybe.
I mean,
know.
We've been hearing these names for years, but you know, you can't diminish them because guys do develop and they do get better. A lot of them do. Not everybody, but a lot of them do. But, you know, A.J. Smith-Shawver, he's only been pitching since he was a senior in high school. And they saw the arm talent make him a pitcher. But he does have electric stuff. But, you know, facing major league hitters when you haven't been pitching that long is kind of daunting. You have to kind of work your way into that and be a little bit more sophisticated in how you approach hitters. He's not there yet. Maybe he'll turn a corner this spring. But there are some options there, certainly. I'm telling you, though, Travis Darnold leaving, that's the one that broke my heart. I mean, guys like that, catchers like that, and I remember when I was playing in college, something about catchers have a very grounding effect because they play the toughest position in baseball. I mean, no matter how many shin guards and pads you have on, a foul ball off a tip foul ball always finds some vulnerable area that's not covered, and it's a tough way to make a living. And I'll tell you another thing that's really tough about being a catcher, too, especially nowadays where everybody's throwing 97 to 100, your third at bat of a game after you've been catching all day, you think your hands feel that great? I don't care how padded your gloves are. Your hands don't feel that great late in the game. But Travis was such a clutch guy, and I'm sure he was one of the sheriffs of that locker room, but okay. So you're gonna run it back with another guy who we did not want to see come to the plate last year.
Well, he was dealing with that oblique.
He just couldn't get things going.
And he just never got going again.
Oblique's a difficult injury to come back from. You're out for a while.
He was gone for, he missed, 60 games?
Something like that. Yeah, didn't he get hurt on opening day?
Third swing of the game. Like, it literally happened.
And he just couldn't catch up. Just could not get it going.
And, you know, that was the last time that the Braves were fully healthy.
Yeah.
Third inning
of the opening game
day.
Of the opening.
and I remember just face palm.
It's like, are you kidding me? I know.
Like, okay. Well, that, if that's it, then fine.
And then Austin Riley gets hit on the hand.
Well, yeah.
And you had no shot in the playoffs without his bat in the lineup.
And my God. And that was also a game where, Max Fried was your opening day starter.
Yep.
And he got shelled. And then it was just a disaster. It started so poorly. And I'm like, but as long as it's just Sean Murphy. But then Spencer Strider goes down. I'm like, okay, well, I mean, I guess we have Chris Sale. We'll be okay there. Then you lose Michael Harris for a month and a half.
Remember,
and
you lost Chris Sale for the playoffs then with a back injury.
Well, what I'm saying is you missed – do you know – take a guess. Take just a random guess at how many total games the Braves missed due to injury last year.
Well, I just said you're what? What, you had five players miss at least 2 months.
1,062 baseball games.
There you go. There you go.
1,062. And it's not like they were losing guys who were like back in relief pitchers.
No.
You lost your top two regular middle leaders.
Well, you lost a generational talent in Ronald Acuña.
You lost him for an entire season. You lost a Cy Young front runner. You lost your all-star third
baseman.
How long
is Michael Harris out?
Your all-star second baseman, your all-star center fielder, your all-star catcher. I mean, you lost everybody.
But Orlando Arcia stayed healthy.
Hey, Orlando Arcia was there. Hoppa. Chris Sale was largely healthy the whole season. So
largely.
It's like, I can't.
But he wasn't available in the postseason.
But then he got hurt as soon as it. Yeah. And look, we were a wounded animal that just needed to be put down at the end of the season.
Absolutely.
And we got old Yellard at the end of the year. And it just, at the end of the day, I was gracious. I accepted death with open arms.
Yeah.
And that's just where I was at the end of the year. But this year.
Well, it was exhausting.
Last year was so bad.
It was bad.
And
it was just
sitting
exhausting and frustrating.
It.
Yeah.
And it was so, and I'm just like,
what
end
next?
Just end it. It was a game against the Mets. It was like right at the build up to the end of the season where I'm like, all right, maybe we're getting here. We made it.
Yeah.
And then they just floundered at the end of the season because the Austin Riley news came out.
Yep.
And then the Chris Sale news came out. And then you just wanted to run your head through a wall.
Oh, you expected what next? An asteroid's going to hit the clubhouse.
That's literally it.
I mean, that's what you're thinking.
But the thing is that people soon forget how good that team was in 2023,
mm-hmm.
and then what happens in 2024 where your entire team is just ravaged by injury.
Well, look what happened to your historically good offense in the playoffs in 2023. You got banished by the Phillies.
For the second year in a row.
And that's just baseball.
That's just baseball.
That's just baseball. It's the way it works, man. 162 games, the human element, and the fact I say it's such a psychological game because it's such a slow-moving game, you just have time to sit there and marinate on your shortcomings and your struggles, and it could just metastasize in the fact where you become too aggressive at the plate, and the cycle continues. That combined with the injuries. So hopefully your new hitting coach can make a difference. I don't know how much they necessarily – I mean, a lot of guys just rely on their fathers. Chipper always relied on his dad.
They have personal coaches.
Yeah, personal coaches.
Yeah, they got guys as far as mechanics and everything like that. They have their personal guys, but
The guy you brought in was a hitting coach on two All-Star teams. He's got two rings, so maybe that's good. And a different voice might be helpful as well. Kevin Seister, maybe the message grew stale. I don't want to overemphasize what a hitting coach is, nor underemphasize it's somewhere in the middle. And it depends on what he is as a person, how he can engage with players and teach them and be a psychologist as well. That's also a thing. All right, going to come back. We have neglected the most important story of the day. And I think that has to do with the fact everybody just defecating over All-Star Weekend in the NBA, and I was one of those. It's coming up next. Andy and Randy, Tribble in for those guys. Sports Radio 929 The Game.